Don was singing songs back from our childhood. The lesson we're going to have tonight also is a lesson that most of us learned in our childhood. Even though the story might be remembered from our days back when we were kids, fortunately, not everything from childhood is childish. The story that we're going to talk about tonight packs a powerful lesson for us today. It's about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and it's about the fiery furnace. And I want to lay out what they went through before we talk about what happened. The picture of the exact circumstances these three men faced. Number one, they impressed by their appearance and wisdom, and Nebuchadnezzar had shown them a great deal of favor, much to the displeasure of several of the court officials that were there. The courtiers determined that in some way they would remove these three people. They didn't like them. They wanted them out of there. And number three, when the edict came down that all must worship the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar, that provided the opportunity to get rid of the three. The three men were in no doubt of the course they should adopt. And you see, if you turn to Exodus 20, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that was their attitude. And D, if they did not bend to Nebuchadnezzar's will, they would burn in his furnace. Now, we're going to read tonight. It's something I don't normally do, is read a lot of passage, but I want to read this. And what I want you to do is I just want you to kind of sit back, listen to the story. We'll talk about it as we go through it. And imagine yourself being there and what these people were going through and what they did. Daniel chapter 3 is the story of Nebuchadnezzar and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it starts off in verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. I don't know if you all realize, I've read this and read this and read this, and every time I give this sermon or I study this for a sermon, more comes to me of what's in it. This statue was 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. A cubit is approximately a foot and a half. So this thing was 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. Now I kind of looked across here. This is about 50 feet, I think. Am I right there? Okay. So this room, basically double it. And that's how long this statue is. 9 feet in is about where these chairs are. That thing is awesome. So, you know, we see statues, you know, out in front of athletic facilities, statue of Tarkanian, statues of different coaches, different legends. And, you know, they're 20, 30 feet high. This thing is 90 feet high, made of gold. Now stop and think how intimidating this statue is. Now, I want you to place yourself there, okay? So, now, King Nebuchadnezzar sent to assemble. He's bringing in everybody, all the important people. He's bringing in all the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province coming to the dedication of this image which Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So this is something that, you know, it's an extravaganza, if you will. It's a party that they're going to throw. Nebuchadnezzar is so proud of himself. He's built this image that's 90 feet high. It's made out of gold. He's invited all of his friends and all the common terminology, bigwigs, if you will, to this party. So he's having something that nobody's ever done before. So then, in verse 5, it continues on, the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of all these provinces were assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So now they're there. He invited them. They all came in. I don't know how far they came in from, but you can imagine that they weren't all just from a local region. They traveled in, and these are people that are very important in where the king is. Okay, so King Nebuchadnezzar now had set it up. They stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So These people had no idea, you know, what kind of an image this was, what kind of a statue this was, until they got there to see it. And now all of a sudden, here's this 90-foot thing of King Nebuchadnezzar. You can imagine how impressed that they would be with this manly thing that was done. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages." So we know there's a lot of people there. There's different nations there. There's different languages that are being spoken by the people that are there. So to make things simple for him, Nebuchadnezzar set this up. So he said that when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music, we're not going to talk to you, we're not going to tell you what to do, but when you hear this music, you are to fall down, worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. So it wasn't a matter of if you want to or not, it's a matter you're going to do it. And who's going to argue with King Nebuchadnezzar and a 90-foot statue made of gold? Now stop and think about some of the things that we see in this everyday world that are impressive. And the intimidation that people can put us through to get them to get us to do what they want us to do. This is what's happening with Nebuchadnezzar and these people. He wants them to bow down to him. He has built a 90-foot high piece of art about himself to show them how impressive I am. And now he's directed them. You know, you're from all the different nations. You're from all different lands. You all speak different languages. But don't worry about all that. When you hear the music play, you bow down to this. Because that's what you're going to do. You are to fall down, worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Then, whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. Here comes the threat. So you're going to show that I'm great. You're going to make me feel that I'm great. And when you hear this music, you're going to fall down and you're going to bow to this statue and you're going to think I am the one. And if you don't, I'll just throw you in a fiery furnace and you'll be done. We have that happen in our own lives sometimes. People intimidate us. People put things around our neck, if you will, to make us do things that they want us to do and not necessarily what we want to do. Because there's an ultimatum that we don't want to face. It happens. It happens in work. It happens in family. It happens with friends. You get pushed into a corner and say, either going to do this or this is what's going to happen. And sometimes it's not a very pleasant thing to have happen. And that's what's going on here. These people all came in to celebrate this, so I got to imagine most of them don't have any problem with it. When the music's done, you bow down. If you don't bow down, you're getting thrown into the furnace. Therefore, as soon as all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the peoples, it doesn't say part of them, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Mass bow down. Nobody questioned. They all did what Nebuchadnezzar wanted done. I always wondered what kind of power, how that would feel to have that kind of power. I don't know that I'd even want it, but stop and think about the power that Nebuchadnezzar had in this land and all these people here, and he says, this is what you're going to do, and they just do it. That's a pretty powerful man. Okay, in verse 8. Now we're going to start to see what happened. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. Here comes the tattletales. Yeah. Do you know they didn't bow down? They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. They're doing favor unto King Nebuchadnezzar. They don't want to get on his bad side. I don't think I would either. That fiery furnace is pretty brutal. You, O king, have made a decree. Okay, you said this is what has to be done. Every man who hears the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Now I'll put a little word in there with that. Right? That's what you said, right? And then they go on, they said, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. Now, that's what you said, right, King Nebuchadnezzar? You said if nobody bowed down, they were going to be thrown into a furnace. Okay? So here's what happened. We're here to tattle on these guys. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon. So not only are they coming to him and tattling about these three guys, but they're making a note to King Nebuchadnezzar, not only these guys didn't bow down, but you've taken it upon yourself to make them important people. Where do you get off doing that? Then he names them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no heed to you. They don't serve your gods. They don't worship your golden image that you have set up. Now, here's King Nebuchadnezzar. You got to understand what's going on here. Here's King Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know how many people, hundreds of people, thousands of people, whatever it was. There was nations of them there to celebrate this day, to celebrate this big image that he's got set up. And here's these three guys in the back of the room, if you will, not doing what he said. How does that make him look? Let's, I'm just going to throw out a number. 5,000 people there for this. They all bow down except three. There's 100 people in the office. I'll go to the bar. I'll go have fun except three. How's those three going to feel? How do the 97, they're going to go ahead and do what they want to do, and they can't get you intimidated to the point you follow along? Because that's what we run into in everyday life. Okay? So, these guys have come to King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, there's three Jews back there that aren't doing what you said. Now, you said that if they didn't bow down, that you're going to put them in a fiery furnace, right? You decreed that. Well, I'm here to tell you, they didn't do it. So what happens with Nebuchadnezzar? He's instantly mad. Instantly. Now, when I think of mad, I want to tell you a little story. This is bonus. When I lived in western Nebraska, we had a pheasant season in the middle of the winter. And, you know, the ground's frozen, you ain't going to hurt anything. So we did a lot of driving out there because to get onto the pheasants, you had to drive fence lines and stuff. So one day we're out, and it happened to be Peg's uncle. But we're out and we're hunting, and we're on his wheat field hunting pheasant. And the guy that's with me riding along is kind of a smart aleck of his own. So anyway, we're just driving along, we're hunting, we're shooting birds and having fun. And here comes Pat Long, her uncle. And I didn't even know what was going on at this point. And he stops us. And he goes, "You guys are driving on my wheat field." And the guy that was with me said, "It doesn't matter, the grasshoppers had eaten it anyway." And this guy is instant mad. His face flushes red, the veins in his neck pop out. And I have no idea what's going to happen. Now, that's what I think of when I see somebody mad. Face is red, veins in the neck are popped out, maybe gritting their teeth. They're ready to go. That's mad. Okay? Now, that was a little bonus story. That's Nebuchadnezzar. He is mad. He's got thousands of people bowing down. Three didn't. And these three happen to be three guys that he's kind of got exalted up in his work, and he's given them important positions. He's wondering, why aren't these guys, what's going on here? So what does he do? He's a furious raid. He commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. All right, go get them. We're going to see if all this is true or not. So they brought the men before the king. Now, here's Nebuchadnezzar. He says to them, I don't know if he's calmed down by now or not, but the language says maybe he kind of has calmed down a little bit. But anyway, he looks at him. He goes, all right, is this true? These men have come to me. They've said you're not bowing down to the statue that I have situated here. What's going on? So he goes, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you don't serve my gods or worship the golden image which I've set up? What's going on? Talk to me, man. Why won't you do what I want you to do? I've treated you well. I've respected you. I've set you up. I've given you nice jobs. And I'm, you know, everybody's bowed down to this but you. What's up? So he says to him, now, all right, you're in front of me now. He's going to intimidate him. Statue couldn't get it done, so here I am. I'm King Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to get you to do this. So he says, you are ready when you hear the sound of the harp, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image which I have made well and good. So if you do this, yeah, that's okay. Everything's cool. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace, and who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands? Now he's starting to intimidate him. He's starting to make a little bit of fun of him. He goes, all right, you don't want to do this. You don't want to worship me. You don't want to worship the statue. You don't want to bow down. Then I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace, and who's this guy you call God that's going to deliver you? Like, it's not going to happen, dude. You're just going to burn in there. Okay, so now we get into verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king. Now, this, you know, common language takes guts, what these three are doing. As Christians, we refer to it as faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king. They go, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. In other words, I'm not talking to you about this. We don't have to answer to you about this. Then they say in verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, or he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. You notice how they started that? If it be so. Their faith is not lacking. If it be so. Then they end in verse 18, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you set up. That's a faith that is hard to understand. They've told Nebuchadnezzar, look, if it be so, our God will save us. But if not, it doesn't matter, because we're not going to bow down and worship you. We're staying with God. That is an undying love. That's an undying faith that they had for their God. Now, as we look at that, first of all, you've got a faith in the ability of God. It takes the exercise of faith to believe that God is able to do something in particular. The faith that God has the ability, first of all, to even do this. And they had that. Secondly, it's a faith in the willingness of God. All right? Now, there's where part of the problem with faith starts coming in, because we look at this and we all understand and we all have the ability, faith in the ability of what God can do. Sometimes things are so dire and the circumstances are so bad, we have a little problem sometimes saying, okay, he's got the ability, but is he really willing? And you get into a position where your faith is rocked a little bit. You understand what I'm saying here. He's got the ability, but is he willing? And then thirdly, which we've just talked about a little bit, is the faith in the sovereignty of God. The Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their third resource, which rendered them invincible and fireproof. But even if he doesn't, if we can, you know, if we can kind of master this third source, we're on our way to a tremendous Christian maturity. But it's hard to master that. It's hard to say, even if God doesn't take care of this and take care of me, I'm not doing anything different anyway. Now, with that being said, as we finish the rest of this story tonight, I want you to think about the fiery furnace as to being the outside world. Every day when we get up and leave our home, we are thrown into a fiery furnace. The fiery furnace is the world. the 90-foot statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had built out of gold that he had people bow down to, and he told them how to do it and when to do it, are the temptations and the things that we run into in our everyday life. I'm putting a little different twist on this story tonight so we can realize and put it to use in our everyday lives. We run into situations where maybe the group wants to go for a drink, or the group wants to go dancing, or the group wants to do this, or somebody wants to do this, or somebody wants to do that, and you're the only one that's not wanting to do it. It's sometimes very difficult not to go along to get along. And we have to be careful of that. And that fiery furnace that we get thrown into every day, just know that God is there with you, and we're going to see that he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, faith always is always confronted with a choice. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a choice. They had a choice whether they wanted to bow down to the statue and Nebuchadnezzar, or go into a fiery furnace with the faith that God will take care of them. That was their choice. We have choices. We can make a choice whether to go along to get along or to stay with God. We can make choices of right from wrong. Peter had to make choices against Nero, whether they were right or wrong. And, you know, the thing with Nebuchadnezzar here, and the thing that happens in our own everyday lives, Nebuchadnezzar didn't require them to deny their faith. He wasn't asking them to deny faith. He was only asking them to bow to the king's image, if you really stop and think about it. He didn't say anything about denying their faith. So in his mind, I got to think that Nebuchadnezzar thought, well, you know, they can still believe in their own God, but I want them bowing down to me. That'd be okay. But it's not, is it? We know that false gods are not a good thing to have. We can create false gods in our own lives. We can do it with a home. We can do it with cars. We can do any matter of different things. Sometimes, you know, we get involved so much. And I was talking about a new home, and I don't mean to step on anybody's toes because we've all been there. We've all bought them. But sometimes we work so hard and we're so diligent in what we're doing to get that new home that we've lost focus of God and our Christianity. We have to be careful not to do that. But these are choices that we make. We exercise faith when the way ahead isn't clear. That's when faith comes into play. We don't have any problem when you stand here and put your hands on it. We don't have any problem with faith. We have a problem with faith when we don't know what's coming. We talked about, I think it was in class this morning, The scary part of life is not the thunderstorms, it's not the tornadoes, it's not the earthquakes. The scary part is what's going to happen when those things occur, because we don't know. We've got a good idea what's going to happen in a tornado. The wind's going to blow and it's going to tear stuff up. But is it coming after me? Is it going to get my stuff? That's where faith starts to intervene, and that's what was happening here. When we are in a position that we have no alternative but to risk, that's when faith really comes into play. Faith always involves a risk. Doesn't matter what you look at. And then faith always encounters opposition. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are running into. Their faith in God is running into opposition from Nebuchadnezzar. Our faith in God runs into opposition from fellow workers, family, friends, people in the outside world. That's where opposition comes in. Our choices are, do we go that direction or do we stay with God's direction? And we have to be strong enough in our faith to know that if we stay this way, God's going to take care of us. The path of faith isn't road-strewn, it's blood-marked. If we advance in faith, we should expect to encounter difficulties. And we will. Those difficulties will be there. Now, there's a couple different lessons here. First of all, the deliverance from trial isn't necessarily our highest goal. Our highest goal is to stay with God to achieve heaven. God doesn't always deliver these men from the fiery furnace, but he did deliver them in it. There's a difference here. And we've got to get away from the idea that God delivered us from our trials. It's alien to the Bible. He doesn't deliver us from our trials. He delivers us in our trials. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says that God will put no more on your shoulders than what you can handle. And he'll always provide a way for you to get out of it. That's delivering you in trial. It's not delivering you from your trials. James tells us that our trials and tribulations that we encounter make us stronger because we won't do it again. So don't ever think that God's going to deliver us from a trial. He'll deliver us while we're in that trial. He'll take care of us while we're there. John 16, verse 33 says, in the world you will have tribulation. And then God doesn't treat all alike. And that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are saying. But even if God doesn't deliver us out of this fiery furnace, it doesn't matter because we're not bound down. So God doesn't treat everybody alike. And I think, I don't remember, I got both classes and sermon mixed up this morning for some reason, but we talked about that this morning. You have to be careful not to blame God for things that are going wrong because we have no idea what God's plan is. If you go to the New Testament, I can't tell you exactly where it is, but God's ways are above man's ways as the heavens are above the earth. And if you understand that, then you'll understand you don't ever question God because we have no idea what his thought process is. We don't have any idea of the path that he has us going down. Consequently, it causes people to be offended with God. And we talk about it, and we preach about it, and we teach about it. People say, well, why did God let this happen? If that God's so loving, how can he let this little baby die? I don't know. We have no idea. And it's not up to us to question God. Things that would let you see where people are not treated the same. James went from prisoner to an executioner's block. Peter went from prison to a prayer meeting. Two upstanding righteous guys in the eyes of God, both treated differently. Peter won souls. Stephen received stones. So we don't know. We know that not everybody is treated the same. Whatever reason it is, that's God's reason. It's not mine. Not mine to even try to figure it out. Okay, let's finish this story. We're getting down to where we're going to be at the end. All right, now, the fiery furnace that these guys are getting thrown into now, just put in your mind, that's me going out the front door every day into the world. That's my fiery furnace. So then he says, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. And he's really mad now. And the expression on his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was no more friendly smile, if there ever was one. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it's wont to be heated. So now, this is how mad this guy is now. He's heated this furnace 7 times greater than what's normal. And what's normal puts people to death anyway, but he wants to take no chance here. 7 times. He ordered certain mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So he didn't have little guys taking these 3 guys to the door of the furnace to cast them inside the burning furnace. Then these men were bound in their mantles, their tunics, their hats, and other garments, and they were cast into the burning fiery furnace. End of story, right? Done. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are gone. That's what Nebuchadnezzar thought. I've washed my hands of these guys and they're gone. Now, verse 22, it says, because the king's order was strict and the furnace was hot, the flame of the fire slew the men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the door. So, all right, here's men that were of Nebuchadnezzar's army, okay? Big guys, they took these 3 guys to the opening of the furnace, threw them in, and they were done. Cooked. Fried. Stick a fork in them. They're gone. And the 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the fiery furnace. All right, so now they're in there. All right, now verse 24. Here's Nebuchadnezzar. Now he's back in the midst here and back in the scene. He says, now, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He rose up in haste. He's going, what's going on here? He is astonished at what he's seeing. He said to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into this fire? right? Right or wrong, we cast three men in, right? But they answered the king, true, O king. He looks back at it and he says, okay, how come I see four? What's going on here? We only put three in there. He says, but I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they aren't even hurt. Now, can you imagine how exasperated this king's got to be? He's got all these people watching this. All these people that had bowed down to his statue because he was the greatest guy on earth, right? Except for these three guys in the back that said, no, we're not bowing down. Now, he's had them thrown into a furnace that's seven times hotter than normal. And now it's not only just three, but there's a fourth one down there walking around with them, and nothing's being done to them. The fourth one, I want you to understand in your own life, that's Jesus walking with you as you walk through life. As you go out into the fiery furnace, Jesus is there with you. It says here, they're not even hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of God. Yeah, really? That's how the fourth one got there. He's taking care of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the door of the burning fiery furnace and said, all right, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come forth and come here. I'm done dealing with this. Just come out of there and let's figure out what's going on. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of these men. Now, what do you think Nebuchadnezzar's thinking? He's threatened all these people about this fiery furnace. Now, all of a sudden, it doesn't even harm these three guys. The hair on their heads wasn't even singed. You could just kind of imagine the frustration that Nebuchadnezzar's going through. Their mantles were not harmed. There was no smell of fire even came upon them. Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set at naught the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. So what's Nebuchadnezzar doing here? He's saying, yeah, you're right. Your God's big. Your God's strong. Your God delivered you out of this fiery furnace. I got to give it to him. Here comes Nebuchadnezzar with another decree now. He's changing his heart, changed his mind. Therefore, I make a decree. What was his first decree that we read about? That was everybody, when you hear the music, you're going to bow down to my statue. You're going to bow down to me because I'm the greatest on earth. He's made a circle around here. Now he's making another decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins. For there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. Big change of heart, isn't it? Same thing will happen to us out in the world if we stand our ground and stand fast for God. People around us will see that. And they won't try to intimidate you into doing something that even they probably know is wrong. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. What a story. It's an old story. It's a story we learned in our early years of Sunday school. And yet it tells quite a story. And I've preached a sermon before, not here, but I always wondered as to the effect that this really had on all the other people, because it doesn't tell us. Nebuchadnezzar had the change of heart. He went from a decree of bowing down to him to a decree of don't say anything against these people's God. How about the hundreds or thousands of people that had gathered to watch this whole thing and saw everything done and what happened? How about the people in the outside world today that see Christians stand solid on their ground, stand solid on their beliefs? they come away with a different thought in their mind than what they had before. I would certainly hope so. I'm not going to belabor an old subject. We had some pretty tough times in this country the last 2, 3, 4 years or longer. We've had the federal government, the justices make decisions that are completely against God's will. But as Christians, we need to stand fast. We need to stay the course. Those around us will see that. Those around us will appreciate that. And enough of us stand the course. You know, it's the old numbers game. 2 times 2 is 4 times 2 times 2 times 2. And pretty soon, a lot of people have seen what Christianity is all about. I can't do anything about the government. I can't do anything about what they do. I can't do anything about what they decree. Peter tells us not to worry about it. Tells us to pray for them. That's what I do. And I will continue to do that until or if they get in the way of me teaching against these things and the fact of it coming into my life and causing me a problem with my salvation. Then I will have a problem. The people have a right to make a choice. They just need to understand the consequence. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the right to make a choice. They understood the what was going to happen to them if they went against God. They had that faith. They knew they had been taught, and they knew what God was. They also knew that Nebuchadnezzar couldn't tear him down. He was not better than their God. We have to remember that. Nothing out there is better than God. Stay the course. Lesson's yours. Is there anybody here that might have a need tonight? If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, or if you need prayers of this congregation, we're here for you. Let it be known. It's a tough, tough thing when you walk out the front door in the morning. If you need prayers of this congregation to help you through, let us know as we stand and sing.